This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, the amount of mission accomplished we won the trade trash talk in Sacramento got real quiet in the past few months. Welcome to Fantasy NBA Today podcast, a sports ethos presentation hosted by yours truly, Aaron Brewski, and FSWA Hall of Famer Steve Dr. A. Alexander. Today, we are talking the Sacramento Kings, and of course the trade of Domantas Sabonis and Tyrese Haliburton is what I'm referring to. And all of that trash talk carries all of the hallmarks of Sacramento basketball, and that ownership and down through the ranks. Everybody gets tunnel vision real quick, and then they pass the marching orders down the chain into team media. Even the players start to perpetuate the groupthink with practically no pushback. They march onward into oncoming traffic all the time. And this year it was the same issues as the previous season with the Sabonis issue on defense. It was a critical wound against any good team, and in particular any high leverage or playoff games. But with the added difficulty of teams gunning for them and a lot of their players simply not getting it done, this Sabonis ball and turning of the franchise over to an emperor not wearing clothes phenomena where expectations aren't being met, players struggle because high-dollar guys like Sabonis can't hold their own defensively. Then they get this sort of sophomoric chip on their shoulder, declaring everybody haters and whatnot. Along with the Mike Brown thriftiness of the past few weeks, and along with the reality that Domantas Sabonis isn't getting any quicker, but his cap number is crushing, the litany of terrible proposals floating around Kings Twitter to try to deal with this, and I'm sure the league at large, signals to everybody involved that this team basically needs to find a winning lottery ticket on the ground. It has all the makings of some Kangs in the near future. So before we talk about all of that, remember, this is your first time listening to the show. If you still don't hate me for that and haven't done it, make sure that you subscribe to the show on whatever platform you're listening to and hit the thumbs up and all that good stuff. And definitely send the feedback at Aaron Brewski, AaronBrewski, at Dr. A, DocTora, at Ethos Fantasy NBA Today. And before we get started, BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our 150 slots. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use the promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, as in Victor, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. I want to bring in Steve Alexander, and I offer my apologies to both you, sir, and everybody out there that had to listen to all of that. How are you doing, Steve?
Well, I'm feeling pretty good after hearing Kangs for the first time in a couple of years. How are you feeling? Are you okay?
I'm actually, aside from the stomach bug that really is like kind of an iffy sort of a deal over here where I might just have to leave the show and go run and throw up in a bucket, but you know, I'm feeling fine. You know, I really wish the Kings would do super well. Like, I know a lot of people in that organization. I know a lot of people here locally, you know, and it's been really fun, man. Like, even my kid who, like, it's like this whole light the beam thing. First of all, whoever came up with the idea should be just given, like, you know, paid whatever for the rest of their life. It's the best marketing idea I've ever seen. Everybody in Sacramento, when the Kings win, you drive around town, they have beams in their front yards. They have beams on their roofs. I mean, and then you go, it's like a cloudy night in the middle of winter, and you go and you see that purple beam, and it feels like you're in Batman. Like, I mean, this town gets nutty when this team is good. I really am rooting for them. But, you know, the amount of trash that was talked you know, after the trade, as they got sort of good, you know, for the last bit of the season after the trade, then the following season when they were really just crushing people and coming out the gates strong, and then nobody knew what they're facing, and they just, you know, won, was it 47 games or whatever in that season. You know, it was fun, but the amount of trash they talked was as if they didn't know that there was a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth chapter to this story. And so that all came to a head this last season, and then they get mad and they talk even more trash, and here we are. I'm fine with all of that, but I do wonder what this looks like from a basketball perspective heading into next season. Of course, that's what we're going to cover here, is the season in review for the Sacramento Kings looking backwards. But we're just going to see, I think it's going to be a lot of stress this upcoming season for the Sacramento Kings, because the pressure, you know, of the contracts, and, you know, now they did get the Mike Brown thing figured out, which pissed Sacramentans off to no end. It was a classic ownership not wanting to pay the extra $1 million kind of situation, and they have a reputation for that. And this is a guy in Mike Brown who came in and he brought culture from day one. I rarely disagreed with any of his coaching moves. I've rarely disagreed with anything that Monty McNair has done. I didn't believe they should have done the trade for Sabonis, and largely because of the cap number that's going to continue to clobber them over the head, and I just don't think they can win with him at center. But outside of that, these guys have been great. They've brought culture. You know, it really positioned this team to do well. That said, you know, you started to see the frustration at the end of last season. I mean, you got De'Aaron Fox yelling at media members for basically doing their jobs. You've got, you know, team kind of personnel-ish, you know, people connected to the team in some capacity, don't really want to use names, but like, they're out there talking trash left and right. It just feels like they're really in their own heads and super concerned about what outsiders think regarding these really central issues, and that the win or the loss on those issues is gonna make itself known in this upcoming season. And if you start to see things tip over in the middle of the season, it's gonna be because of that. And I know that's a lot for a fantasy team review, so I'm gonna kind of shut up and get out of the way.
Well, you know, you said they need a lottery ticket, and they had one, but they took a match and just lit it on fire and threw it up in the wind and said, screw it, we're going to draft Marvin Bagley instead of the man.
Man, the cuts are deep in this one. And honestly, while that was happening, those guys, I mean, it was kind of like, I forget the guy for Iraq and the Iraq war back in the day, they call like Baghdad Bob or something. You know, he would be like, the nation is still standing, you know, and they would do that with Marvin Bagley, you know, and they just did it over and over and over and over again. They finally got off that one. That's so painful. I don't know. Okay, we can't go that far back in time. De'Aaron Fox led the way. And I think we talked about him in previous episodes about how he, despite a lot of the hype, was able to beat expectations a little bit, top 15. And actually, that's, I shouldn't even say a little bit. That's actually a nice chunk, because I think he was going 25, 30 if he slid in fantasy leagues. 2 steals a game. Super solid steals number, 26 and a half points. 3 trays. I mean, again, the difference between De'Aaron Fox prior to the trade for Domantas Sabonis and then after has been his shooting. Luke Lokes, I'm definitely butchering that name, sorry. He just nestled up next to De'Aaron and taught him how to shoot, or they collectively together, however they figured it out. But becoming a deadly shooter, it comes and goes, but it's definitely put defenders on ice skates. And 3 trays a game is just outstanding. About 5 rebounds, 5 assists per game. The free throws, and we talked about that in the last show. I know we did that. 73.8% on almost 6 per game, and that's definitely not good for his value. But, I mean, top 15. How are you feeling about De'Aaron Fox heading into next season?
Well, I feel like he's a feel-good story after all the after all the negativity that has taken place in the last 5 minutes. I love De'Aaron Fox. I thought he really stepped up after Halliburton got traded to the Pacers. The most impressive thing he did last year to me was the 2 steals a game. He was a 1 steal guy before that, and he went from 1.1 to 2.0 from 23 to 24. Like that's amazing. He's also become a really good shooter, like you said, and you know, he's reliable from downtown. He's scoring a lot of points, and he's a fun player to have as your lead fantasy point guard.
Yeah, I had him everywhere. I mean, Fox's camp is, you know, shot some shots at times, you know, my direction, and I think everything that he's done on the floor, he's earned every piece of it. I don't know what the story was prior to the trade, like why, you know, like the Kings could not move him. You know, they basically in the trade market, nobody wanted to pay what they expected to be De'Aaron Fox's number, regardless of, you know, if he was struggling or whatever. They just knew he was a blue chip basketball player, and they just weren't sure if he was going to be that guy. There was questions about leadership. There was questions about effort. It was all over the film. It wasn't just like some made up thing. I mean, it was just sitting there to be seen, and he answered every bell. He worked his ass off, just getting after it. He developed that shot. Leadership wise, he really excelled. This last third of the season in Sacramento was the first sort of departure from that arc of becoming an extraordinary leader, it felt like. And defensively, like, kind of saying, look, I can be as good as anybody in the league on that side. And that's where you see it in that steals number. So many times he just goes up to a really good offensive player, takes the ball and runs the other direction. It's just amazing to watch. So Fox, I mean, I don't know if people recognize the season that he had in fantasy leagues. I mean, this is a scenario from the last podcast talking about Alperen Şengün. Is like Sabonis gets all the numbers, all the accolades. He gets the all NBA votes. He gets the all NBA defensive votes. I had to throw that in there. So it's like, Fox, did people really even know he was top 15? Where do you think Fox goes in drafts, and are you in next season?
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
Well, yeah, and wasn't Sabonis an all-star snub? I feel like he was.
My brain dumps that info.
First, Sabathia's getting all the love and all the attention. I think he got snubbed for All-Star. As far as Fox goes next year, I mean, I don't know why he wouldn't do exactly what he did this year, except maybe shoot it a little bit better. I think once we get out of round one and all those big names are off the board, if you want a point guard in round two, especially the second half of round two, I think Fox is going to be a popular pick at that spot.
I mean, I guess the thing that makes me excited is he legitimately couldn't really shoot prior to the turnaround. So he's figured it out from distance, and he's figured it out. I mean, from mid-range, he's lights out. So why not the free throw line? If that happens, you're talking about one of the shiftiest players in the league that can get to the line, and he probably would go to the line more if he had that unstoppable confidence there. I'm not saying he would get to the line a ton more, but I think in general, this is a guy who's going to continue to get respect from officials. He's going to continue to add to his game. His dribbling is amazing. Like, he's really one of the more amazing players in the league when you consider the high-end things that he can do. So I'm probably in. It just depends on where. And I probably would get aggressive too. Let's switch over to Domantas Sabonis. I kind of feel like fantasy-wise, there's not a lot to talk about. I mean, he played 82 games. That's great. He finished with a top 12 ranking. Awesome. He was drafted probably, what, like 16? I think I saw him go earlier than that a couple times. But back into the first round, early second, and he delivered exactly what you thought he would. Any reason to back off of Sabonis in this upcoming season?
Yeah, I don't think there's any reason to shy away from Domantas Sabonis next year. I mean, he is what he is. He's going to do the same thing every year. He's still ticked off that he was a All-Star snub, which is also indicative of the level of respect maybe that Sacramento gets from the league. Like, the fact that Sabonis was not an All-Star is kind of a joke to me. He's just that good. And, you know, whether you make an All-Star team or not doesn't really have anything to do with fantasy, but it impacts guys. And Sabonis may be out to prove a mission next year. But either way, you know, he does what he does. You know exactly what he's going to do going in. You know that he's not really going to block shots. He's not going to get a ton of steals. And he's not going to hit a ton of threes. But everything else, he jams in. Well, he's not a great free throw shooter either. Never mind. He's not a good player. That's maybe he.
I know, right? But look, a lot of people think I hate Domantas Sabonis or something, and I think he's one of the best players to watch offensively and under the glass in the NBA, bar none. Like, the dude, I mean, obviously his father, you know, had something to do with this, I'm sure, but he just is that good. You know, his vision for the game, and he's also one of the hardest workers you're going to find. And so this offseason, I'm sure he hears all the chatter, and I'm sure, I mean, Mike Brown made that defense the way that he made it because they all knew he couldn't defend. It's like they all kind of understand the situation that they're working with there, and he's going to go into the offseason, and if I had to guess, he's probably going to come back even lighter because that'll be the key to mobility. I think, you know, he'll always have power over people for the most part. So if there's a shift in what he does, and then he's going to just work on his skills game, and that shot will probably be 10% better, and not percentage wise, but just, you know, kind of theoretically overall. So I think, aside from the fact that he'll probably stay on the floor a lot, if not the entire season, and the fact that he's that good and he's probably going to come back better on offense, basically in kind of every facet, minus the ability to deal with the defensive issue, which isn't going away, I think he'll be fine. next up on my list here, Keegan Murray. So Keegan quietly played top 60 ball in 9 cat leagues. Now, there's a big difference in value between 9 and 8, because in 9 cat leagues, he didn't turn over the ball. I mean, 0.8 turnovers per game. This, while every Sacramento Kings fan out there is begging for him to do more with the ball. So it was just a great season for him. How are you doing with Keegan? I'm guessing it's pretty good, but let me ask you the question anyway. How are you doing with Keegan Murray?
I feel like he's going to be on everybody's sleeper list this year. Like, a breakout season is coming. I don't know if it's going to happen in year 3 or year 4, but it's going to happen. And he's a solid 3-point shooter. He's great free throw shooter. Scoring has gone up for, 12 from his rookie year, and then he scored 15 last year. I could see him coming in between 18 and 20 this year, and the sky's the limit on this kid. Where did he finish in fantasy rankings last year?
By totals, it was higher. By per game, it was 60.
So yeah, I mean, I'm not opposed to taking him in the fifth or sixth round.
And there's an off season ahead, and every team is asking about Keegan Murray when they call the Kings, because right now everybody knows the Kings are desperate to do something of substance significantly in the playoffs. And the only way that you're going to get something back to do that with, you got to take Keegan Murray and send him somewhere else. And that will be a moment on Twitter if that occurs. And I really don't think they will, because Keegan is kind of low key what makes them special. Yeah, you need two really good players on any team to be serious in this league. But Keegan has this sort of expandable game that even in his low usage role right now, he's great. And people are just dying for him to do more. So he's going to probably just do more at a minimum. I would hate to see him go to a team that's kind of got a lot of players and, his development gets maybe put on hold for a year or two or something like that. Consequently, he could also go to a good or a team with no players and he could get an expanded role that way. I really don't think he goes anywhere. But staying in Sacramento, presuming they add somebody that they need on defense, that could be a really, really special season for him. Unfortunately, the names that they're connected with are all like Al Kuzma and, just somebody of that ilk. And that would be bad, I think, for him. So we'll see how the offseason plays out. Malik Monk, not the finish in 9 cat that it might have felt like. Just inside the top 150, 2.1 turnovers per game, really holding him back there, as well as just some down defensive numbers. Everything else is in a good spot. His contract situation, I kind of feel like the Kings are going to do something to make it work. I'm not the cap guy, so I'm probably a few steps slow on this discussion. But, I mean, this is one of De'Aaron Fox's best friends, dating back to Kentucky. That's, one of his best friends. So other teams can pay him more, but maybe they can do something creative to keep Malik Monk in Sacramento. But are you thinking Malik Monk is ready to explode, or are you thinking sort of a little less than that?
Well, I think he sort of exploded last year. Career high in points, career high in assists, career high in blocks, tied a career high in two 3-pointers a game, shot it well. He was fun to roster in fantasy, and he's one of those guys that he's quiet. I didn't expect Malik Monk to be able to come off the bench for the Kings and be so effective, but he was really trying to win Sixth Man of the Year. He got hurt at the end of the season, which was a total bummer. It killed him in the playoffs. I think he's a huge part of what they do, and I think he's going to build on what he did last year. I don't know that he can do a ton more than he already did.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, I think his turnovers are kind of, they're up there. They're not like Jordan Poole-esque or anything like that, but if he didn't do something, and this is the double-edged sword that he presents, is like he might do something amazing that causes you to literally jump out of your seat and scream, but the flip side of that coin is it might also just be like handing the ball to the other team and hey, go run the other way and score. But I had him on, out of 30 teams, I want to say I had him on like 20 plus fantasy squads. I typically play 8-cat, and he finished at 100 in 8-cat total value with the 72 games, and if not for that late injury, he'd probably be like a top 80 finish or something like that. He was coming in off the board at like 130 in fantasy league, so it was just, to me, I felt really good about that one. I think for him to take the next step, he actually does have to deal with the turnovers, and then defensively issues there as well, especially playing next to Fox. Unfortunately, they're really good combo in so many different respects, but they're pretty thin, so they can get bounced around by a stronger backcourt if they play too many minutes together. But if he can get those turnovers down, you could see Malik Monk playing 30 plus minutes, really getting a lot of offensive, instead of just the unlimited leash to go kind of just go crazy. I think maybe just like a full game of 32 minutes where Malik knows, hey, I'm going to get the ball quite a bit, and I don't have to take such crazy attempts at generating offense. That could be really good for him all the way around. They got a couple players that are really bottom-of-the-roster kind of guys. Kevin Huerter in the past has had a little bit more pop than you would have suggested after watching this last season. He and Harrison Barnes, your classic 3 yards and a cloud of dust guys, definitely nothing changing there. And they're the guys that the Kings are throwing out as bait right now, which we'll see what comes back and if that works out for them. Keon Ellis had a good stretch at the end of the last season, so we'll be keeping an eye out for that. Anything else that you would like to say about the Sacramento Kings, sir, before we head off?
Yeah, I would just, on Kevin Huerter, like, what happened, man? He went from 15 points a game to 10. He basically was not even usable in fantasy last year. 64 games, inconsistent. You never knew. You know, he'd come out, he'd have one great game and then like four bad ones where he just disappeared for stretches at a time. And it's weird because I really thought Kevin Herter was going to be a better NBA player than he's been. And he's just kind of never really gotten it done. I mean, he came close the year before last in Sacramento, 15 points a game and a steal. But he's basically just a designated three-point shooter. And even at that, he's unreliable. So I thought that was weird.
I wonder about the knee, if there's more to it than we know. But when they brought in Chris Duarte, at minimum, it messed with his head. And then we had to listen to all this stuff about Chris Duarte being very good, which was very funny because it quickly did not pan out. Classic Sacramento Kings stuff. But at the same time, if you're Herter, you know, you had a great season the year before. If there isn't something about injury that they know, they all collectively know, and they said, okay, we got to bring in Chris Duarte because there's injury concerns here. If it was just, hey, we want to try to upgrade the position and we like Chris Duarte, it threw him into a funk. And whether it was lack of athleticism combined with the funk, who knows? But he was just not anywhere as good the year before. And a couple seasons prior in Atlanta, he was really showing some really good promise. I don't know. If I had to bet right now, I don't think this thing's turning around for him. But we shall see. All right, tomorrow we're going to Miami. Just like Will Smith, we're going to Miami. And we're going to try to follow that guy's career arc. I feel like it went pretty well for him lately. So we're going to try to do that. One more time, please like, subscribe to the show. Continue sending us feedback at Aaron Bruschi, ARONBRUSKI, at Dr. A, DOCKTORA, at Ethos Fantasy NBA. Keep an eye out for promos for our premium stuff. The NFL Draft Guide is awesome. You guys are going to love that. The All Sport membership, where you get all of our sports for one price per month. It's going to be some crazy low price. Also, you get to keep that for life if you keep your membership active. So when these prices are double or triple of that, you'll just be sitting on a crazy low price for a membership. It'll be great. That's going to do it for us. This has been Fantasy NBA Today, presented by Bet Online, a sports ethos presentation. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, be well.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.